Hello, and welcome to GCSE Literature Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most beloved novels in English literature, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Whether you're preparing for your OCR GCSE exam or just want to deepen your understanding of this brilliant text, this episode is for you. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll explore the key themes, characters, and writer's methods that examiners are looking for. Plus, I'll share some insider tips on how to ace those extract-based questions. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. First, let's talk about what makes Pride and Prejudice such a rewarding text to study. Published in 1813, this novel isn't just a romance, it's a sharp social satire that critiques the marriage market of Regency England. Austen uses wit, irony, and brilliant characterization to expose the absurdities of a society where women's futures depended entirely on securing a wealthy husband. For your exam, you need to show that you understand how Austen's narrative methods, especially free and direct discourse and irony, shape our response to characters and themes. Now, the OCR exam asks you to start with an extract and then explore the whole text. That means you can't just analyze the extract in isolation. You need to use it as a springboard to discuss how themes and characters develop across the entire novel. The key is integration. Weaving together your analysis of the extract with references to other key moments in the text, all while embedding context naturally. Don't bolt on facts about Jane Austen's life or Regency society. Show how context shapes character behavior and reader understanding. Let's break down the core concepts you absolutely need to master. First up, the central theme of Pride and Prejudice itself. Both Elizabeth Bennet and Mr. Darcy suffer from these flaws. Darcy's pride in his social status leads him to insult Elizabeth at the Meryton Assembly. "She is tolerable, but not handsome enough to tempt me." And this sets the tone for their entire relationship. Elizabeth's prejudice against Darcy, fueled by Wickham's lies and her own wounded pride, blinds her to his true character. The turning point comes when Elizabeth reads Darcy's letter after his first proposal. She realizes, "Till this moment, I never knew myself." That line is gold for your exam. It shows her moment of self-awareness and growth. Next, let's talk about marriage and social class. Austen presents multiple models of marriage through different couples. Charlotte Lucas marries Mr. Collins for security, not love. She tells Elizabeth, "I am not romantic, you know. I never was." This pragmatic approach contrasts sharply with Elizabeth's insistence on marrying for love and respect. Jane and Bingley represent romantic love, but even their relationship is nearly destroyed by class prejudice. Darcy and Caroline Bingley conspire to separate them because the Bennet family lacks wealth and connections. Lydia and Wickham's elopement represents the dangers of passion without judgment. And finally, Elizabeth and Darcy achieve the ideal, a marriage based on mutual respect, intellectual equality, and genuine affection. Austen is arguing that the best marriages transcend class barriers and are built on character, not fortune. The third major theme is reputation and judgment. In Regency society, reputation was everything, especially for women. When Lydia elopes with Wickham, the entire Bennet family faces social ruin. Mrs. Bennet wails about the disgrace, and even level-headed Mr. Bennet recognizes the gravity of the situation. Darcy's secret intervention to force Wickham into marriage shows his moral growth. He acts to protect Elizabeth's family reputation, even though he has no obligation to do so. This is crucial for AO3, context. You need to explain that under the laws of coverture and entailment, women had no financial independence, so a ruined reputation meant social and economic disaster. Now let's talk exam strategy. You've got 45 minutes to write your response, so time management is critical. Spend 5 to 10 minutes planning. Read the extract carefully and identify the key theme or character focus. Then jot down 2 or 3 other moments in the novel where that theme or character is developed. This ensures you're covering both the extract and the whole text, which is what the question demands. When you're writing, use the Peel structure. Point, evidence, analysis, link. Make a clear point that addresses the question. Embed a short, precise quotation. Don't just drop in long chunks of text. Analyze Austen's methods. Look for irony, free, indirect discourse, dialogue, and narrative voice. Then link your analysis to context or another part of the novel. For example, if you're analyzing the first proposal scene, you might say, "Austen uses Darcy's blunt declaration, 'In vain I have struggled, it will not do,' to expose his internal conflict between social pride and genuine affection. The verb struggled suggests the violence of his emotions, yet his subsequent focus on Elizabeth's inferiority reveals that his class prejudice remains unresolved at this stage." This contrasts sharply with his second proposal, where he admits his past arrogance and demonstrates genuine humility. Now let's talk about the mistakes that cost candidates marks. The biggest one? Treating the extract and the whole text as two separate mini-essays. Don't write two paragraphs on the extract, then switch gears and write two paragraphs on the rest of the novel. Instead, integrate them. Use the extract to establish a theme, then trace how that theme develops across the novel, constantly linking back to the extract. Another common mistake is feature spotting. Don't just say, "Austin uses a metaphor here." Explain the effect of that metaphor on the reader. How does it shape our understanding of the character or theme? What does it reveal about Austin's attitudes or the social context? And please, don't bolt on context. Don't write a paragraph that starts, "In Jane Austen's time, women had no rights." Instead, weave context into your analysis. For example, Elizabeth's refusal of Mr. Collins, "You could not make me happy," would have shocked contemporary readers, as women of her class were expected to prioritize financial security over personal happiness. Austen uses Elizabeth's defiance to critique the mercenary nature of the marriage market. All right, let's test your knowledge with a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll give you a prompt, and you should pause the podcast and try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the opening line of Pride and Prejudice, and why is it significant? The answer is, "It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife." This line is ironic. It's actually the mothers of unmarried daughters who are in want of wealthy husbands. Austen immediately establishes her satirical tone. Question 2. Name 3 key moments where Elizabeth's judgment of Darcy changes. Answer. 1. Reading Darcy's letter after the first proposal, where she realizes she's been prejudiced. 2. Seeing Pemberley and hearing the housekeeper's praise of Darcy, which challenges her assumptions. 3. Learning that Darcy paid Wickham to marry Lydia, which proves his moral integrity. Question 3. What is free indirect discourse, and why does Austen use it? Answer. Free indirect discourse blends the narrator's voice with a character's thoughts, allowing us to see their perspective while maintaining narrative distance. Austen uses it to create irony. We see characters' self-delusions and flaws even as we understand their viewpoint. Brilliant. Let's wrap up with a quick summary. Pride and Prejudice is a novel about personal growth, social critique, and the complexities of human relationships. For your exam, remember to integrate the extract with the whole text, analyze Austen's methods in detail, and weave in context naturally. Focus on the big 3 assessment objectives: AO1 for critical argument, AO2 for analysis of methods, and AO3 for context. And don't forget, there are 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar, so proofread your work. If you found this helpful, make sure to revisit your key quotations, practice writing time responses, and always ask yourself, what is Austen's purpose here? How does this moment shape the reader's understanding? Thanks so much for listening to GCSE Literature Essentials. Good luck with your revision, and remember, examiners want to see your personal, critical response. Be confident, be specific, and show off your knowledge. You've got this.